The Scarlet Gospels by Clive Barker. Read for you by John Lee. His friend demanding what scarlet was, the blind man answered, "It was like the sound of a trumpet." John Locke, Human Understanding. Prologue. Labor Diabolus. It raised my hair, it fanned my cheek, like a meadow gale of spring. It mingled strangely with my fears, yet it felt like a welcoming. Samuel Taylor Coleridge, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. 1. After the long quiet of the grave, Joseph Rogowski gave voice, and it was not pleasant in either sound or sentiment. "Look at you all," he said, scrutinizing the five magicians who'd woken him from his dreamless sleep. "You look ghostly, every one of you."
"You don't look so good yourself, Joe,"
Lily Safro said.
"Your embalmer was a little too enthusiastic with the rouge and the eyeliner."
Rogowski snarled, his hand going up to his cheek and wiping off some of the makeup that had been used to conceal the sickening pallor his violent death had left on him. He'd been hastily embalmed, no doubt, and filed away in his ledge within the family mausoleum in a cemetery on the outskirts of Hamburg. "I hope you didn't go to all this trouble just to take cheap shots at me," Rogowski said, surveying the paraphernalia that littered the floor around him. "Regardless, I'm impressed. Necromantic workings demanded an obsessive's eye for detail." The Nguize working, which was the one the magicians had used to raise Rogowski, called for the eggs of pure white doves that had been injected with the blood of a girl's first menstruation, to be cracked into 11 alabaster bowls surrounding the corpse, each of which contained other obscure ingredients. Purity was of the essence of this working. The birds couldn't be speckled, the blood had to be fresh, and the 2,709 numerals that were inscribed in black chalk, starting beneath the ring of bowls and spiralling inward to the spot where the corpse of the resurrectee was laid, had to be in precisely the right order, with no erasures, breaks, or corrections. "This is your work, isn't it, Elizabeth?" Rogowski said. The oldest of the five magicians, Elizabeth Kotlov, a woman whose skills in some of the most complex and volatile of magical preservations weren't enough to keep her face from looking like someone who'd lost both her appetite and her ability to sleep decades ago, nodded.
"Yes," she said, "we need your help, Joey."
"It's a long time since you called me that," Rogowski said, "and it was usually when you were fucking me. Am I being fucked right now?"
Kotlov threw a quick glance at her fellow magicians, Lily Safro, Yashar Hayadat, Arnold Poltash, and Theodore Felixson, and saw that they were no more amused by Rogowski's insults than she was.
"I see that death hasn't robbed you of your bitter tongue," she said.
"For fuck's sake," said Poltash. "This has been the problem all along. Whatever we did or didn't do, whatever we had or didn't have, none of it matters."
He shook his head.
"The time we wasted fighting to outdo one another, when we could have been working together, it makes me want to weep."
"You weep," said Theodore Felixson. "I'll fight."
"Yes, please, spare us your tears, Arnold," Lily said.
She was the only one of the five summoners sitting, for the simple reason that she was missing her left leg.
"We all wish we could change things."
"Lily, dear," Rogowski said, "I can't help but notice that you're not quite the woman you were. What's happened to your leg?"
"Actually," she said, "I got lucky. He nearly had me, Joseph."
"He? You mean he hasn't been stopped?"
"We're a dying breed, Joseph," said Poltash. "A veritable endangered species."
"How many of the circle are left?" Joseph said, a sudden urgency in his voice.
There was a silence while the five exchanged hesitant looks. It was Kotlov who finally spoke.
"We are all that is left,"
she said, staring at one of the alabaster bowls and its blood-stained contents.
"You. Five. No.
All the